counting on, I'm counting on God. I'm counting on, I'm counting on God. Father's Day. For all the fathers that out there.
Yay. Everybody's getting used to that 9:30. It's amazing what that
I know Jack's
the middle section forgot.
You screwed everybody up, Jack, that 9:30.
I know. I said I get my over under's 10:15 for when everybody show up. So it's all good. But happy Father's Day.
All right. Thank you. As you can see, we're decorated for winter right now. This is, you got the Everest VBS coming next week. I feel like singing, let it go, let it go. Did you guys feel like singing that?
Yeah. Good.
Next week, we'll sing Let It Go. But I'm not singing. No, we're going to sing This Is Amazing Grace this morning. Amen. Stand up.
Let's just open with prayers. That sounds like an awesome thing to do. Let's talk to our Father on Father's Day, right?
Yep.
Right?
Right.
All right. Lord God, we just come to you today. We thank you for who you are. This time of year, it seems like everything starts to kick into high gear with the summertime and with vacations and with all kinds of other things. But God, on this day where we honor fathers and dads as part of our world, we just want to stop right now to thank you for you. And Jesus reminded us by the way he told us to pray by starting with that we say our Father, but really he just said Abba, which means daddy. And so as our daddy, just fill this place with your presence. Just like we are excited for those of us when we get to see our fathers and our parents and those people that may have filled those roles on earth. God, we are just amazed at your presence when it comes and just fills each one of us. So just let us have a great Father's Day for our Heavenly Father, and let us just celebrate and worship you. In Christ's name, everybody says, amen.
B flat, everyone. You don't want a B flat on the B flat.
Gotta love a drummer.
All right, you guys ready to shout out this morning? Gonna raise a roof today? All you dads, especially. 1, 2, 3.
Come on, are you awake out there? The power of sin and darkness, who love is mighty and so much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings, who shakes the whole world with holy thunder, who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder, the King of glory, the King above all kings. Amazing grace. This is unfailing love that you would take my place.
Let's sing it out.
That you would bear my cross. Oh, you would lay down your life
for me.
All right, worthy is.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain.
How many believe that?
Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy.
This is amazing grace.
Hey, wait, let's do that. Worthy is the Lamb again. Let's hear it. You guys ready for this? I want to hear it.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Sing it out. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, 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 yeah.
This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life.
Hands.
There's a new sun rising, a new sun rising.
Come on.
There's a new sun rising, a new sun rising. There's a new sun rising, a new sun rising.
One more time.
There's a new sun rising, a new sun rising.
I woke up in darkness, surrounded by silence. Oh, where and where have I gone? I woke to reality, losing its grip on me. Oh, where have I gone? 'Cause I can see the light before I see the sunrise. You called and you shouted, broke through my deafness. Now I'm I
want you. Yes, I want you. I need you. And I'll do whatever I have to just to get through. Cause I love you. Yeah, I love you. You called and you shouted. No. Broke through my deafness. Now I'm breathing in.
Let's give the Lord a praise offering. Let's just tell a daddy thank you. Lord God, let's give him a clap offering. Let's go ahead and just play. All right. Isn't it fun? Isn't it fun to just come and set everything else aside and just celebrate God? I think it's awesome. So right now we're going to have our children go to our Shoreline Ministry. But for those of you who aren't taking kids elsewhere, and if you're visiting with us today and you have some kids that you want to take some places, there'll be some people out there that'll help you get to those classrooms. But for everybody else, just stand up and greet one another. Tell them Happy Father's Day, even if they're not a father.
Somebody had to come see her daddy. He's back here. Said Happy Father's Day to her daddy. There you go. All right. Okay, great to see everybody again. Happy Father's Day. We're glad that you're here. And we just hope if you're visiting with us today, just relax, have a great time, and hopefully all that stuff in life you just set aside and we get to connect and worship God. I want to look at a couple announcements. Tomorrow evening, from 6:30 to 9, you can see, like, Jack Frost came in here. Like Wayne said, we're going to let it go. There we could go into that. But we are going to be having our Vacation Bible School. And some of you have seen the videos for that. You can still register. If you get home today and forget, and you have young kids, neighborhood kids, whatever, you can go ahead, go online to havencc.org, and you can register there as well. We want to make sure everybody gets a chance to connect to Vacation Bible School. It's going to be really cool. They're very excited about it. And I think there might be like 30, 40 kids, something that are already. So that's an awesome blessing, and they're going to have a great time. So this place will get its use this week with people running in and running out, and that'll be awesome. And if you still like to help, you can always say, hey, yeah, I'd love to help and connect and do that as well. So that will be tomorrow evening. You can see the information that's there. And so if you're watching online or traveling today, you can say, oh, we're going to be back. I want to make sure. Go ahead and sign up online as well. You can see Sunday school teachers are needed for the summer and ongoing. They dedicate themselves during the worship time. So if you would be willing to connect, what we like to do is have people so that not everybody gets there every week, but they have a rotating schedule so that people can go ahead, enjoy church, and also be connected with Sunday school. Next week is a big week. Next week is our annual go down to the river in Northeast, and we're going to do an old-fashioned Dunkin', and we have several people that are already registered for that.
Yeah, we got a good, like, almost 20 people.
So 20 people are already going to go down in the river. I didn't mention that, you know, you have to be stuck under as much as you're a sinner. So some people will have to bury you in the mud, but no, it'll be good. But it's fun. How many of you participated in that before? Okay, it's a great experience, and we want to make sure that if you're interested to sign up for that, you can do it online, or we still have a clipboard, or you can see Jill or someone else. Anything after church, if you want to go out, I think there's a tent out here. Someone will be there that we can help you get connected as well with that. But that'll be a great time to participate in that right afterwards. And some of you right now are probably reflecting back to the emotions and feelings. We've had people before who did not plan on getting baptized, went down, they're dressed in whatever church clothes they had on, and the Spirit just moves them, and they just say, hey, let's do it, and they go in. And that's an awesome experience as well. And you will, if you want to dress in one thing at church, I mean, we don't care how you dress here, but if you want to come and in one clothes and want to change another one, there'll be some areas that are designated, particularly the bathrooms, because we do have closed-circuit television, and we don't want that on closed-circuit TV. Okay. Food ministry, you can see those kind of things that are there as well. Baby bottle drive due today. How many people forgot your baby bottles? Okay, there we go. She always gives one more week, so you have that. And next week I'll say, how many people forgot baby bottles? You'll get like this. So when you go home, grab it. When you see it, grab it, put it in the car, and it'll be here. And the Parish Foundation is today and also July 19th. We good for today? Still need a couple other people. If you'd like to volunteer, you can see Bonnie and Bobby, B&B, in the back, and they will go ahead and get you connected. It's a great experience. How many of you have ever served at the Parish Foundation? It's a great experience, so if you'd like to go ahead and serve there today, they could do that. And keep in mind, July 19th will be coming up here very soon. So we have just several other things. We're just glad that you're here. So relax, have fun. If you received a card, hopefully, as you came in, fill that out and take that out here by the tent, and we'll make sure that we have a small gift for you. Thank you for being part of our church here today. And again, I say this every time, people who are used to me being here are like, oh, he goes through it again. But we don't believe you're here by mistake. We believe that God brought you here at this moment. Okay? So at this time, let us go ahead and we're going to lift up some prayer requests. Chloe has asked for prayers. My grandfather passed away on 6/19 and asking to have Haven's support and prayers so that one day I would heal, I think it says. Okay, heal from the brokenness. Barbara Orr asked for a prayer. Her father, Richard Poole, many of you know Richard. He was involved with scouting for many, many years in this area. And he passed away very suddenly and asked for prayers being with his mom, Donna, and their family during this very difficult time. Okay, so we want to lift them up in prayers. All right? And I just want to pray for everybody. Right now, if you're a father, just kind of raise your hand where you are. My father? All right. Fathers, I just kind of want to, how many of you have a father? Okay. All right, so what I want to do is just pray for dads and fathers everywhere, you know, whether they're good, bad, and indifferent. When I was in seminary, I did a study on fatherhood and how that really affects us throughout our whole lives, men, women, and children. And I've recognized that, you know, fatherhood is a major thing, and it is under attack in our culture and in our world. And so I just want to pray for all the fathers in addition to this here today. So let's go to prayer. Lord God, we just want to come to you today, and we recognize there are so many needs, so many issues, so many concerns. And God, let us just take time in the silence of our hearts as we today come to you and just want to stop and just focus on this thing that we call Father's Day. Through that, we have people who have shared that they lost a grandfather and lost a father. And during this day where we honor those people who filled those roles of fathers in our lives, the loss of those seemed to come closer to the forefront. But God, you promise us that you will, and we actually sang it today, that you will be the father to the orphan. And so God, just bring that presence of your Spirit in the midst of their lives. For everyone else who's dealing with sickness, with challenges, whatever it may be, some may just be in that summer depression mode that we kind of get into because we get so excited that it's the winter months are going away, and then we get here and it just doesn't live up to the expectations that we had. Some of us don't even have a clue why we're sitting here or we're watching online today. We don't know any purpose for it, but God, it's because their daddy's just giving them a call today. and you want to talk to him, and you want to spend some time with him. And so for the fathers that are either watching online or here today or may hear this later, I just ask for a special anointing upon their lives. I ask God that you just give them strength to do what you have called them to do, to lead spiritually and to be the physical representation of you here on earth and displaying what a loving, compassionate Father is, as you've done with us. For those who may be expecting their first child, as I look back 17 years, I remember I was a mess. And as I look now, 17 years later, I'm still a mess. But God, it's through you and your love and your care that you bring us to strength. So for all these fathers here today, thank you for those who have remained faithful and instilled the faith and taught their children about their Heavenly Father. And for those who are figuring it out and may have struggled, God, we pray for them that you may restore them and give them strength. And for the rest of the service, God, we ask for your Holy Spirit to be here, to move mightily. As we receive God's your tithe and our offerings, we ask you do what dads do. You make it go more than it should have. That little we have, you take it and multiply it, because we're thanking you for taking care of us in every aspect of our lives. For those who are giving online, God, just go ahead and just anoint those as well so that we can meet the needs. We've shared about many different things already in our community and the many outreach areas that we have, and we've not even begun to scratch the surface, but you, God, you can do it. And for that, we give you honor and praise. In Christ's mighty name, amen.
Show me your love through the judgment you received, and you've won my heart. Yes, you've won my heart. Now I can trade these ashes in for beauty. Forgiveness like a crown, coming to kiss the feet of mercy. I lay every burden down at the foot of the cross, at the foot of the cross. Forgiveness like a crown, coming to kiss the feet of mercy. I lay every burden down at the foot of the cross, and you've won my heart. Yes, you've won my heart. Now I can trade these ashes in for beauty. forgiveness like a crown. Coming to kiss the feet of mercy, I lay every burden down. At the foot of the cross, I trade these ashes in for beauty. And wear forgiveness like a crown. Coming to kiss the feet of mercy, I lay every burden down. I lay every burden down. I lay every burden down. At the foot of the cross, I'm laying every burden down. Laying every burden down.
Scripture this morning is chapter 1 of Mark, verses 21 through 28. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority. He even gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee.
Good morning. Oh, that's lame. Do it again. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. There you go. There you are. Okay. Good to see you. All right. Everybody go. All right. Hopefully you brush your teeth. The person next to you is saying, "Don't do that again." All right. Okay. We are continuing a series that we started last week called Eyes Wide Shut. Today is time for a cool change. I really wanted to put Little River Band in there, but I didn't, but it's all good. But we've been working through we started last week, and just kind of opened into it, got a little connected, and we're just kind of looking at some of the things that help us just get to know Jesus better. Because isn't that what it's all about, really? I mean, if we do all this cool stuff, and we go to Paris Foundation, or we serve in Sunday school, or we put on a VBS, and nobody comes to know Jesus better, then, you know, we're kind of just doing stuff for us, not for him. And we really want to know him better and really want to connect better. And the ultimate thing in knowing him better is we want to ask the question, can we trust him? Can we trust Jesus? I know what Jesus says. I know all that good stuff. But can I really, really trust Jesus? In other words, what I'm dealing with is faith, this issue of faith. And when I look at faith, I'm asking this question that, and what I'm dealing with is I'm saying, I have confidence that with faith, I'm saying, I have confidence that Jesus is who he says he is and can do what he promised he said he'd do. That's ultimately with trust. If you say, Jack, I trust you with this, then you are, if I say, hey, I'm a really good guy and you've got like $1 million, you just want somebody to hold on to for a while, and you give that to me to hold on to it for you, and you say, Jack, I trust you, you're saying, Jack, I believe that you are who you say you are, that you're a person that can be trusted, you're somebody that I have confidence in, and I'm believing that you're not going to skip town and go to outer Swabovia and enjoy my millions of dollars. Correct? 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 Okay, just checking. All right, so as we look at this, that's what we want to do. So we want to look at who he is, and who is he? The Son of God. God incarnate, God other in other ways in flesh. And if that's true, then I must believe in what he told me to do and what he said he promised he would do. So what did he promise to do? Now, he talked about taking sin away. That's a good thing, right? We talked about the S word in our last series, sin. And I got to tell you, since then, I kind of do something to my daughter, Rachel. She comes with me every Sunday before church. And one of the things I do to her, because she's part of the generation that all she remembers is like praise and worship songs. She has no clue about hymns. Anybody remember hymns? Where it's like a book you would open. And let me ask a question. How many remember the Cokesbury hymnal? Oh, you're telling your age. All right, so. But the Cokesbury hymnal had all these things, and they were for something called revivals. You remember those? I think some of us need vival. Not revival, vival. But I remember we'd be sitting there, and we'd have the Cokesbury hymnals out. That's when Cokesbury hymnals were the songs that you sang in tent meetings and where evangelists would come, and then people really wanted to get, like, really sing for Jesus. They didn't have a timer. They were just singing all night. And one of the things that they had old songs like, the one I always remember was Revive Us Again. You remember that? There was always some lady that said, I want to sing Revive Us Again. You'd be like, here we go. I want to sing In the Garden. That was always another one that came out, In the Garden. Anybody with me? Am I the only old person here, okay? And this is some of the stuff that would happen. And when I was looking at this, so one of the things I do to Rachel, there I have a satellite radio with my car, so I usually listen, if I listen to praise and worship, I listen to the one station that plays that. But every Sunday, there's two other ones. There's like a southern black gospel kind of thing, and then there's the old one that plays these old hymns. And I'll put them in, and usually they have like some very southern twang to them, the way they sing them. And I'll put them in, and I'll sing them, and she looks at me like I'm completely insane, and I torture her all the way to church with these songs. But what about these songs, as I've been torturing her for the last several weeks or months with this, is I realized something, and I love praise and worship songs, but one of the things that's really missing from a lot of the praise and worship songs is the concept of sin. As I was looking and listening to some of these songs, they are all about sin. They're all about, today was that song, draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to your precious bleeding side. And it talks about that's what took my sin away. And I was like, wow, this is amazing lyrics about people who really connected it. So it's awesome that Jesus takes our sin away. The other cool thing about that is he keeps us from hell. Look at the person next to you saying, stand away from hell. All right. Right, and also through what Jesus did, he reconnected me to God, and that's really awesome and cool things, very awesome, cool things, and that's good for then when I die, when some of you will come by a casket and see me there, not in a suit. I already told Melissa not in a suit, and my wish is to have my hand out so everybody can shake hands with me. Yes, I am demented. But when that happens, I want you to know that, yeah, he took my sin away. Yeah, I'm not busting hell wide open, and he's reconnected me to God. But that's for then. What about now? What did he promise now? And as I look, will he take care of me in this life is the question I want to know. Will no matter what I've done, can I still go to God and receive his mercy and his grace and his forgiveness as he said he did? Those are things I need to know now. I don't need to know those when I'm in the box. I hope I've worked through that when I'm in the box. So in this series, in the last series we had, I did not say that. And last week we kind of also touched on this, some of the promises that Jesus has and some things that Jesus did not say. I did not say that was a series of things that we attribute to God. Last week I mentioned one more thing that we attribute to Jesus. That when people come to you and say, well, you're sick because you didn't have enough faith. Jesus never said that. The flashy person on the screen, on the television said that. If you send me more money, I'll go ahead. And if you had enough faith, then that'll happen. That's not God. That's not Jesus. Jesus never said that. Jesus gave us something, and he never promised. Remember last week I said he never said it would be easy? He never said he'd keep all the tragedies and all the struggles away from you? What did Jesus say? He never made an if-then deal with anybody. What did Jesus say? Jesus gave us this promise. Here it is again. Are you excited about it? In this world, you will have trouble. Woo! Look at the person next to you and say trouble. Look at the next person and say trouble. If you're a Travis Tritt fan, T-R-O-U-B-L-E, right? In this world, you're going to have trouble. How many believe that? How many's had trouble? Anybody had trouble this week? Anybody had trouble last month? Anybody made trouble for anybody? That's right. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. And after he said that, they nailed him to a cross. You think he knows what he's talking about? But part of that promise is he says, but wait a second. But take heart. I've overcome this mess. You know, because here's what happens. Nothing, because of me, nothing will ever separate you from God. And I'll go through it with you. And I'll give you exactly what you need to be able to stand up underneath all those troubles. So what we've been doing is looking at the main reason why Jesus came. And what we came to the end of that I gave you a little bit last week is all these miracles that Jesus does is really cool. They're awesome. And we're going through several of these things. But it all leads to something greater, his death and his resurrection. That's why we should trust him. Because if Jesus was just a good teacher, then that makes him a good philosopher, and we've got some feel-good stuff. If Jesus came to just die for our sins, then he's a martyr and a great hero. People throughout history have done that, have laid down their lives for a cause. Martin Luther King laid down his life for a cause. Several other people in life have done that throughout history. Socrates, etc., etc. But if Jesus rose from the dead, he's an entity all to himself. And that's where our trust is. And if he did not raise from the dead, then guess what? We are all wasting our time and could get another hour of sleep today. Because if Jesus did not raise from the dead, then why are we bothering? But if he did raise from the dead, as he said he did, and as it testified, as I shared, many of those same people who denied him, many of those close followers, that their lives changed. They ended up, every single one, dying a martyr's death, but John. That to the fact that he was beaten and he had holes in his hands and a spear through his heart. And yet he was sitting there speaking with them and eating with them just 3 days later. If that happens to me, if I go to the funeral, if I go to the crucifixion, the death and burial of somebody who I followed, and then 3 days later, they're sitting at the table after being in the tomb stinking for 3 days, and they're sitting at the table eating with me, I think I'm going to pay a little bit more attention to what they have to say. Are you right? Anybody else agree with me that way? So that's where our faith is. So through this series, the only reason why we should listen to Jesus, yeah, he has a lot of other awesome things, but he, as C.S. Lewis says, it doesn't allow for us to make him just a good teacher. Because guess what? If he rose from the dead, which we believe, that's where our faith stands. So through this series, we're looking at some impressive miracles that Jesus did. And Jesus healed an awful lot of people. But that's not the only reason why he came. Because if he just came to fix them, then he failed. Because guess what? As I mentioned last week, they all died. Like Lazarus was raised from the dead, but I can't pull him out of the back room and say, here we have Lazarus, and he comes out still in those grave clothes from 2,000 years. We don't have that. Jesus did a lot of miracles. So if he just fixed somebody for that time and now they're dead, what is the reason? in order to point to something greater. So we're going to look at some of this today. Today, we're going to look at this interesting story, and I know you're all excited. You everybody excited? Are you excited? Okay. I'll figure it out. I'll pass that off. Okay. We're going to see where Jesus cast demons out of a man, but it's bigger than him just dealing with that problem. Because as I mentioned last week, we cannot base our faith, the foundation of our faith, in if then. We can hope that Jesus will do these things. And, you know, one of the things that I found out is I'm pretty simple in life, and there's a lot of things I got to share I don't understand that Jesus does. Something I think is grandiose, and I just go to him and I say, I need you to do something, boom, he makes it happen. Something I think that's little, but I need, he doesn't. It sounds like he's completely silent. But that's why I'm not God. I don't understand fully to those things. I don't know his ways fully. But I do have confidence in the fact that he has love, forgiveness, and undeserved favor. All right, so let's take a look at this. We're going to look at this again that Debbie read for us. And I have it printed, most of it, in your bulletin. And if you have an iPad or a phone or a Bible, something called a Bible. I pulled out my Bible the other week up here, and I went, whoa. Like that. You know, I like the iPad where you can make the text bigger. All right. So we're going to be in Mark chapter 1. We're going to bounce around a little bit from some scriptures, but there's some important things. Now, last week when we talked about Jesus healing an official's son. The official's son comes. A little bit of a weird story. Official comes, walks 20 miles, gets there, says, I need you to heal my son. Come with me. Jesus says, no, go home. He's done. He's healed. He's like, and the guy listens to him and goes home, and his son is healed on the way. Just a little weird story that we have there. Today, we are going to be back in Capernaum. Last week, it was at Cana, and Capernaum was where the royal official was. This week, we are in Cana, moving from Cana to Capernaum. Maybe they healed him, heard about healing him, said, let's go for a trip. Let's go see him, see how he's doing. But if you go to Israel today, they'll have Capernaum, the hometown of Jesus. It wasn't where he was born, but that's kind of where he set up shop. It's where he hung out with. And so as we began to look at this, I said it was 20 miles from Cana, and we find out, it's Saturday. So let's take a look at this verse again. Verses 21 through 24. They went to Capernaum, and when Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue to be able to teach. So in the Jewish faith, it is Saturday, which is Sabbath. Sabbath is their church day. And so they would all gather to the synagogue, and those who were nearby went to Capernaum. Here they go. They go to Capernaum. They're in the synagogue. And what would happen a lot of times, a synagogue would be a place, and if somebody had felt moved, they would go ahead and they would speak. Or if you had somebody who was really popular in the area, like say Billy Graham was in town and he just came in to the church, I might say, go ahead, Billy, you go ahead and take over for a while. I think you got a little bit of credibility. I want to hear what we wanted to hear what people had said. Now keep in mind, we learned from last week that the word had spread about what Jesus was doing in Jerusalem by the time he got to Cana. Now he's done something in Capernaum. He's a rock star going around here. So here he is. He comes in the area, and as we begin to see this, it says, the people were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Now, I want to deal with this verse about one who had authority. Around this time, you had priests, and most of the priests were hanging out in Jerusalem. They had service at the big temple. But in the meantime, there was rabbis who were special teachers that kind of dealt with the synagogues. And as in everything in life, when we get it organized as people, you have a hierarchy. So what would happen is, if you were starting off or you were just a basic rabbi, they would send you maybe to Capernaum or Galilee or Cana, one of these little fringe areas, small towns. And what would happen is, you would read the scripture and then interpret. But because they were kind of like just guns for hire, just to keep the people busy and connected, they would often base what they understood from the higher rabbis. So they would read and they would say, well, I want to share with you, I read this thing and the interpretation from rabbi so-and-so or from priest so-and-so is this. And that's what they would share. And so you would go hear somebody else's interpretation of scripture revealed to you by somebody else. Everybody with me? Okay, so there's a hierarchy that existed. Now, Jesus goes in, and what is happening at this time, most people and most of the teaching of rabbis is simply narrowed down to this. God is big and awesome and holy. I am not. I am a worm. And that's pretty much what you heard every week. Wouldn't that be a great lesson to hear every week? You're a worm. Go home. God is holy. You're not. Jesus comes up and begins to share different things. He begins to read and he begins to tell the true meaning of God's word. Matter of fact, you'll see throughout Scripture, one of the things that Jesus is accredited with, anytime he's speaking about the Scripture, he says, you have heard it said that, but I am going to tell you. So the theme of the day, the cultural significance of church is one way, but Jesus said, but I want to tell you. He said, like for instance, he'd say, you've heard it said that you should not murder, but I'm here to tell you if you have hatred in your heart for your brother, you have already committed murder in your heart. You see what he's saying? He's giving the true nature of the law. And people heard this, and the authority that was coming was just overwhelming for them. So this is the situation that occurs in this area here. And they lived in a very religious if-then situation. If you do this, then God will love you. If you go ahead and give this sacrifice, then God will. If you do such and so, this is what happens. So Jesus picks up, and here we are in verse 23 and verse 24. Just then, a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, what do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Now, it's another weird story because we find some different things that occur here. This is this man's synagogue. This is Bill who sits in the third row every week. He comes in, Bill sits down, says, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. Nice to see you. Oh, did you have a good week? Yeah, I did too. I kind of lost a sheep, but that's okay. We're looking for it. We're doing this. You know, they're going through this. I'm going down to Eli's, his bagel and lox place, you know, after church. You want to go? That's the kind of stuff that's going on. They know him. Look at the person next to you. That's the person. Right? So all of a sudden, Jesus stands up. He begins to speak with authority. He begins to speak and reveal the word of God. And all of a sudden, this man yells out, ah! Now imagine you're sitting next. Look at the person real good that you're sitting next to. Now imagine that person in the middle of speaking goes, ah! Have you come to destroy us now, Son of God? Are you weirded out a little bit? Just a little bit? Now, for those of you who visited, that doesn't happen, you know. But I'm saying, imagine if it did. Many of us would make our own doors out at the side. Some of us would tackle him and think something's going on and call the police, right? Somebody would have no clue what was going on. This is somebody they knew and they learned. Now, when we talk about the demoniac, we got to get movies out of Hollywood out of our head. He didn't stand up and his head rotate and he vomited projectile all over everybody. It was like, why have you come to destroy us at this time? Son of God! Right? No, that's not what they did. He just stood up and went through this. When we talk about this, you know, you got to get it's hard to get the exorcist and stuff out of our heads, isn't it? But when we talk about this, when we talk about possession, he is under the power, his life is being controlled by technically it's called an unclean spirit or a demon. And when we look at demons in the Bible, we find several things that occur here. Now, I want to share one thing off the bat. One thing off the bat that I look at is most days in our life, of things that we deal with are surface level. Like we're in traffic and we're ticked off because someone's in traffic. Or somebody hits our car in a fender bender. Or I lose my wallet and my keys, as I did this morning. I lost my keys. Matter of fact, Debbie said, Jack lost his keys. Surprise. There we go. I lose my keys. Or I got to go somewhere where I don't want to go. You're agitated, right? I don't believe there's a demon of gridlock. Let me say that. That all of a sudden, we're in traffic. It's the demons that are saying, fill this road and don't go there. I believe stuff happens. You with me? Some people believe that, I stub my toe and I go, ah, demon, you know, like that. No, I just believe it's part of life that we deal with in this deal. But I do believe that a lot of the issues that we deal with, the bigger issues in life, are really just the outward physical symptomatic thing of what the scripture talks about, that we are in a spiritual battle against good and evil, against principalities and powers of darkness and and the forces of light who are with Christ. And I believe that we have these symptoms that occur. We recognize that we are created as spiritual beings. I recognize when I die and that I go to be with the Lord, I get a new body. And I don't have to run 1 mile to make it better. I get a new body. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to make Arnold Schwarzenegger look little. I'm going to be pumpitude for Jesus in heaven. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait. But it's just a spiritual. It's not just this up there. You know what I mean? We are created with a spiritual nature that is, the Apostle Paul says, I can't wait to be freed from this prison that I call my flesh. Anybody got in the mirror and said, wow, I can't wait to be freed from this prison? Or do you go, prison doesn't look too good today, or it looks pretty good, you know, that kind of thing. We are created, our true nature is spiritual, not physical. But we get so caught up in the physical nature of what we have and what we exist, because that's what affects us the most when we look at that. And the whole message of the gospel is that we make the spirit man or woman in us flow into the other areas, not the stuff from the flesh flow into the spirit. But we do, because I'll tell you, if you don't feel well, I guarantee it affects your spirit, unless you are praising God and allowing God to work through. I've said several times to this congregation, one of the most amazing things I ever heard about, and I went and visited him at the hospital, was my uncle, when he was dying with cancer in his appendix, put in praise and worship music in the midst of that, and then called all his children in and laid his hands on them and prayed over them. Did he feel like it? No, but the spirit was welling up where the flesh could not do. I'm sure he wanted it to go away. We prayed for healing for him. But he recognized he was going to be freed from this prison because he was spirit with God. And that was the true nature of who he is. Much of the evil spiritual battle is due to these evil unclean spirits. In Daniel and Revelation, we revealed that they are one-third of the heavens that fell with Lucifer, Satan. And so that's what affects us. And we know that they're as numerous as the stars. And so one-third of that falls, we recognize that we have these issues. And there's some things I want to share with you that I find out when Jesus comes in contact with these unclean spirits. Immediately, whenever Jesus in the scripture comes in contact with these unclean spirits, they recognize him. Number one, they recognize it. He scares them. Every single time you see it, they can be sitting there and all of a sudden, whoa! No! Have you come to do? Wait! They're scared right away. Right away we find that. In James it tells us that the demon believes as you believe, but they tremble at the name or the sight of Jesus. And in this weird story, as I said, this unusual story, here's normal Bill or Steve sitting in the pew that goes ahead and goes through this. In verse 25, we see this. It's not like, oh, we're used to him. He's crazy. He's been doing it every year. This is a normal guy. And in verse 25, we see this. In verse 25, we're sitting there, and the people are not freaking out. All of a sudden, Jesus says, be quiet. He said it sternly and said, come out of him. Now, I have a humorous story I want to share here. You might have been on that trip at the time that we went there. We were in Israel, in the synagogue at Capernaum. The one that's there, the bottom foundation. They built another one on top, but the foundation is there. And there was another church group behind, and I had the opportunity to speak about this section here, and we actually did an anointing and healing afterwards. And I was standing there. I had a tie-dyed shirt on, and I had, you were there, right? A tie-dyed shirt, and I had red and blue pants. I looked like a Crayola box had exploded on me. And I was sitting there, and there was another group in the back on the other side, and they were quietly doing their church thing, you know, over there. And all of a sudden, I got to this point, and I was reading the scripture, and I said, be quiet! You can back me up. And they stopped and turned and went. And I turned around, and I said, oh, no, not you. Like that. And they went. But it was so awesome. And he said, no, we were already there. And we started laughing about it, and we connected. But it just went completely silent in that area. And what I do, every time I think about the scripture, I think about being there, that in this very spot, Jesus was speaking and encountered this man who just... It was so out of order and so out of the ordinary. He just stood up and the oppression that he had on his life, that thing that controlled him, was coming out. And Jesus just said, shut up and get out of him. And they had to listen to exactly what he said. And that's the second thing that we learn about this. Not only do the demons fear Jesus, but we recognize that Jesus has authority. Jesus is stronger than and has authority over the demons, and they have to obey him. Now, this is a key thing that we need to hear here, because in verse 26, it tells us, verse 27, the people were so amazed because the evil spirit in verse 25 shook the man and came out with another shriek. So you got this guy flipping out again. He's like, ah, woo! Maybe like a James Brown concert, like something going on down to Firefly right now, right? Woo! He comes out. And the people were like, this is a crazy church here. Nothing happens like this. This is wild that's going on here. But he had to obey. And the Bible constantly tells us. And then verse 28. News about him spread quickly all over the whole region of Galilee. Well, you're darn right it did. That's kind of wacky. If that happened in church, any church around here, don't you think we'd hear about it? This week we'd be like, what's going on? We'd either stay away or we'd come back the next week to see what's going on. You know, last week we talked about that everything that Jesus does, that little fix it very quickly, leads to something to a greater point. So what is this in this spiritual discussion here? What is this thing? One of the things that I learned, and it really kind of jolted out at me because I've read these scriptures many, many times, but most of the time that Jesus deals with demons or unclean spirits, most of the time that he deals with it in the synagogue. Now that kind of threw me for a loop. Now, it's not saying anything against the Jewish religion or even church. It doesn't mean that they're not there, but not every time, but most of the time. And what I'm looking at is several weeks ago, we did a comparison about religion versus relationship. And what I recognize is all religious systems get to an area where we have if then. If you will do this, then God will. If you then, if then, if then, if then, if then, and this is how God works. But we already talked about this, said God never said, Jesus never said that I'm going to make deals with you and bargains. Never does that. So, but religion and religious systems get to that area. So why the concentration of oppressed and powerless people in these areas? And what I came to the discussion is that because most religion deals with the external, Jesus deals with what's going on inside. Like, you could have had the worst week of your life. Your house could be falling apart. You could be holding on to your relationships, your job. You could be holding on to your health by that much. But when it comes time to come to church on Sunday, you're going to squeeze out a smile and a good suit or a good dress or a good something. And then somebody will come to you, how you doing? And you're not going to say, my life sucks. You're going to say, it's great. How about you? Keep on smiling. Am I right? It's about the external, how we look, how we act, how we feel. It's that external thing. And Jesus says, inside, you're rotten away from the inside. That's what I want to deal with. What's internal, not external. Because I know internally, you're a mess. Internally, you need something else. Jesus even says that out of the overflow of the heart is what begins to happen. He's not concerned about the outside. He out of the mouth speaks the heart. So many push down and fake it. And eventually, you can cram that sucker down for years. It could be something that starts when you're a kid. And today, as we're talking about fathers, you know how many grown men I have had contact with in my life who are still struggling and suffering with who they are because they have a horrible relationship with their father. A broken relationship with their father, and they have no clue how to deal with it, and they can't work through that because they're stuck in this area that's internal. Outwardly, they may be businessmen. They may be extremely successful. Their bank accounts may be full. They may drive awesome cars. They may have everything on the outside, have the perfect family, but inside, they're torn up because they don't have that connection, and they don't have that healing that's in there. And Jesus is saying, I see everything here, but I want to get to what's there. Because that's something that I got to fix that leads to something greater. And so what I want you to do with me is now we're going to go to Luke chapter 11, verse 24. And listen to what Jesus says here. When an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house that I left. And when it arrives, it finds the house swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes seven other spirits more wicked than itself and goes to live there, And the final condition of that man is worse than the first. In other words, what Jesus is sharing here is you can do a lot of self-help things that may get your mind good for a while. You can press it down and just say, I'm going to go ahead and do this. And the spirit may, if it wants to, leave for a while, and you may say, I'm doing good. I've got it together. I don't feel depressed as I did. I don't feel that brokenness from not having a father or a mother or whatever. I don't feel that. And then there will be one moment in time it will happen, and guess what? It'll be worse because it'll come back. Has anybody ever dealt with anything in your life that you say, okay, you know, here's what I'm going to do. You know, I'm struggling with this, so guess what? I'm gonna close my internet account. So I shouldn't be watching this. So I'm going to close my internet account. Or you may say, I'm not going to join this because when I do, it starts to take me down a road. I'm not going to do this. So we create these things for us. I'm going to get an accountability partner. They're going to help challenge me, and we're going to make it. And, you know, then before you know, you've done it on your own power, and you begin to creep back in, and before you know it, it's worse than it was before because we can't do it under our own strength. Not at all. We can't do it at all. We are worse off. A lot of us, if we're really honest, this is what Jesus says. This is really our condition. We may be addicted and we've tried to stop. We promise people, I promise this is the last time I'm going to do this. I promise that that I'm never going to do this. I've changed. And yet we get back there. If I get away from it, but then I have to cover it up. Most of us live right now or have lived this story. We actually mean it. We do, we mean it. But little by little, it creeps back. You know why? Because only Jesus can make the change. Only Jesus can make the change in our lives. You know, think about it. If the threat of losing something, losing our jobs, losing our relationships, losing our families, losing our finances, is not big enough to get us to not do it or not to have these struggles and situations, if that's not big enough to get it fixed and it's still an issue, how can we do it? We can hide it, we can bear it, we can fix it, we can mask it, we can push it down, but we can't fix it. And that's what I believe Jesus is pointing to in this section of Scripture. That's what Jesus says. That's why I died on the cross and rose again. Because that is how does this connect with my struggle? Because here's what I find out, and this is the next one in your bulletin, that when we begin sinning, we can't stop. When we begin sinning, we can't stop. When we begin doing something, now we may not do the same thing. We may substitute it for something else. We can't stop. What the Scripture tells us is sin gives birth to sin. And it just keeps to spread and spread and spread. The Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, said it this way in Romans chapter 7. And I have it printed in your bulletin. It's one of my favorite things. He says, I'm a slave to sin. I am chained. I am bound. I can't move anywhere. He says, we know that the law is spiritual, but guess what? I'm not. I can't. The law is from God, but my life is not displaying that. I'm sold as a slave to sin. I'm living for sin. I don't understand what I do. Anybody ever been in that situation? You do something, you're like, why the heck did I do that? I don't understand what I do, for what I want to do is not, I do not do, but what I do what I hate to do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. So the law is good. What is the law? The law is not a bad thing. The law was a means of salvation for the Israelite people and those believers to say, I'm a mess, and these are the things that are keeping me from God. But guess what? Nobody could live up to it. He says in verse he continues on in verse 16. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree the law is good. Verse 17. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but the sin living in me. Now that's not a cop out and say the devil made me do it. It's just saying I am such a slave to the sin, I can't even do what I want to do. I know that nothing good lives in me. How many people have ever felt that? There's nothing good about me. There's nothing good in my life. You look in the mirror and you say, I don't know why anybody else would love me, because guess what? I don't love me when I look in the mirror. There's nothing good here that lives in me. That's my sinful nature. For what I have the desire to do is what is good, but I cannot carry it out. Let's look a little bit further here. I'm going to switch over here. Look at what it says here in verse, I think, 20. Here we go. Sorry, wrong one. In verse 20, verse 19. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, for this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that's living in me that does it. So I find this law at work in me. Although I want to do good, evil's right there with me. It's like you get up in the morning, you say, okay, God, you know, I want to thank you for an awesome day. I just want to praise you. I've had an awesome day. No sin. I'm perfect. Everything's incredible. Thank you, God. Now help me when I put my foot out of the bed in the morning. I mean, literally, that's how I feel. Because as soon as I put my foot on the floor, there's something waiting for me. It's kind of like sin says, hello, Jack. Ready for today? I got a good thing planned for you. I got wine, women's song. It's all coming. Yeah, here we go. Woo! Party, Jack. It's right there with me. All those things that will get me and get my attention. Because sin does get your attention, doesn't it? You don't just go and say, it goes, ooh, that looks good. And before you know it, your path instead of here is over here. It meets me at the door. It meets me in my car. Cut me off on the road. There'll be lots of sinful thoughts that'll come up in my mind. In verse 20, it continues. And in verse 24, it says, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? This is not just Jack Cohen saying this. This is the Apostle Paul who wrote most of the New Testament, talking about his struggle with dealing with stuff. Evil's waiting right there. And he says, who's going to rescue me? What's the point in this? I've been beaten. I've been in prison. I've been this and I've been that. And guess what? What's the point? I'm still doing the stuff I don't want to do. What's the point? But then God gives him the answer and he reveals it right there. Verse 25. But thanks be to God who delivers me through Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature a slave to the law of sin. He says it's Jesus. You know, sure, Jesus can come down and fix it for the time being, but I'd be right back there. And then in verse 8, in the next chapter, he gives us something that is even more important. And it's right underneath. He says, therefore, now there is no condemnation for those who are in who? For who? Christ Jesus. You know, see, I can't do it on my own, but it's through Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. What are we saying here? The crucifixion of Jesus does a couple things. It pays the price of my sin. Are you ready for this? And sets you free over its control. You have anything in your life? I mean, you know, when I pray at the end of this church, I'm praying for you, but there's some things that I can't pray for you with that you just have to stop and think, God, this is something in my life that you and I know that I've pushed it down, I've covered it up, I've dealt with it, I don't know where I am, I'm lost here, I need some help, I've hidden it, I've shamed it, I've done everything else. But I just really need you to release me from it. I need you to free me from that area. You ever been locked out of your house? You ever feel, number one, dumb? Number two, vulnerable? And then there's something in your mind that says, you know, I can break in. And then all of a sudden, you start to go, dum, 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 dum. And you try to break in the house. You're trying to, you check the doors, and then everybody gets their credit card out like they can do that. And somebody, you got a hairpin, and you do nothing. Tell me your skill with that. But everybody decides they can do that at that moment. But ultimately, most of us just either break a window or sit there and wait till somebody comes home. A lot of us have been waiting for somebody to come home because we've been trapped, not outside, but inside. And we've been waiting for that year and year. We've been trapped in all kinds of different things. Jesus is not just fixing the situation, but he's changing me from the inside out. Jesus paid for my sins and my mistakes. Something that I can never, ever do on my own. Because on the cross, Jesus changed me. He took my sin on the cross. And guess what he's doing? You ready for this one? This is even cooler. He's changing me still. One of my uncles used to have a shirt that said, "Be patient with me, God's not done with me yet." There's a lot of rough edges, but man, he's changing me. Changing me. If you think you're going to slide into church one week and you're going to be perfect just because you come into church, forget it. You think you're going to come for 40 years and you're going to be perfect, forget it. But I guarantee you, if you're reaching out and you're going through Christ Jesus, through the cross and through the resurrection of Christ, he will change you and keep changing you day in and day out. Not in a bad way, but bringing you to a freedom of life. That's why I can trust Jesus. That's why I can look at verses of Scripture like this, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, which tells me, I can do all this or I can do anything through him, Christ Jesus, who gives me strength. That's why in 1 John 4:4, I can say this when I'm dealing with stuff in this world, I can say with confidence, the one who is in you, the one who is in me, is greater than the one in this world. And I can say it with confidence and trust it. Means if the world's falling in around me, I say the one here is greater. And why? Because as Colossians tells us very simplistically, that Christ is our only hope. That which is in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. As our worship team comes up today, Jesus on the cross is not just about stopping us from doing bad things. That's religion. If so, then guess what? When that's fixed, I'm just going to replace it with something else. What it's about is breaking the hold on your life. And it's about what Jesus did, as he said in that one verse in Luke, about getting the unclean spirit out and keeping him out of your house. If you had somebody in your house who wasn't good for you, wouldn't you want them out? Well, guess what? Jesus wants them out of your house as well. And he wants to bar the door, change the locks. His spirit wants to live in you, because guess what? Where Jesus is, they can't be. He wants to set up residence, and the demons need to go. The difference between oppression and possession. You know, you find out that the people who are possessed are those who don't have Jesus living in them. Because you got an empty house, some squatter will come find a place. Now, the demons will oppress us. They'll give us trials, but Jesus said, I'll be there with you and help you stand up. Jesus promised the only way to change was to be set free. And the only way to be set free is through Jesus, via the blood sacrifice. Every time in Scripture, sacrifice and healing comes through blood. In this case, Jesus did it. Now, as we wind down before we go into, I'm going to ask Debbie and Randy to come up and be ready to pray with anybody today. But I want to share with you a story that I found this week. It's about a baby elephants. Anybody ever trained baby elephants? Okay, nobody. No circus people. Baby elephants, when they're born, are about 200 pounds, which is pretty strong. And what they do when they get their legs underneath them, to train them to walk in circuses and to work with things, they take a chain and they wrap around their leg and they tie it to a tree. And immediately what the baby elephant does, it tries to pull against it because it's stuck. It pulls with all its might, and it keeps doing this and keeps doing this and keeps doing it until the chain is actually hurting its leg, and it keeps going. It whines, it screams, it pulls, it pulls, it pulls. And eventually, the animal's broken to the point where this baby elephant collapses on the ground. Then, so this baby elephant at 200 pounds, that some eventually grow and get 6 to 10,000 pounds. As they're this large adult elephant, if you want the elephant to stay someplace, you know what you do? You just put a little chain around its leg, and you knock a little tent peg in the ground, and the elephant won't go anywhere. I think that's a lot of where our lives are. We have something that we've pulled against and pulled against to the point that it's hurt us so bad that we fall and crumble under its weight. And now we've been used to it so much, we're so afraid of it, we can't deal with it, that we're just stuck in this little tent peg, and we feel helpless and chained. But I'm here to tell you, don't listen to the voices. Don't listen to the pegs in your life. Let Jesus remove that from you. Let him free you. We have been defined way too long by our chains. Ask Jesus to free you. Ask him to release you. and work inside you to bring change and changing you. You may have a relationship in your life that feels like a chain and a tent peg. May feel like a chain and a whole forest. Why not try something new? Allowing Jesus to change you and change the situation in and through him. You may have an illness or a struggle that has kept you bound. Let Jesus change the situation and change you and free you here today. I'm going to ask that you stand today. Lord God, as we come to this point today in the service, I just feel you ministering to people's hearts and minds. And God, as you minister to their hearts and minds, give them peace about what's going on, but ultimately, God, work to change. For those who may never have accepted you in their lives, let them receive that first change. For those who have accepted you, but there's areas of our lives that are broken, there's areas of our lives that are oppressing us or may even possess us, they may even control us, God, move in a mighty way. Next week, we're going to do a baptism. A baptism for those people who want a who want to profess to the world, I have a relationship with you. And God, there's people here right now who said, who may be reflecting on the baptism and say, you know what, God? I haven't done what I needed to do since that point. God, change them and be changing them for your kingdom. There's other people who say, I want to do that as a profession of my faith. And God, let them know that, you know, it's not going to be easy because in this world you're going to have trouble. But let them reside and stand and trust on the fact that, but take heart, for you've overcome the world. So God, during this time, minister to us. Daddy, just pick us up. This week, as my oldest daughter turned 15, I looked at some videos when she was 1 and 2. And I thought, wow, where did those years go? I missed the points when I could just pick her up off the ground, when she was crying, and just make it all better. I missed those moments when I could just put her on my chest and she tucked her little arms under and just go to sleep because she knew she was secure. Now, God, for all my children, as the years have gone by, the problems and situations, they get bigger. And eventually we feel we can't handle things. And as your child, God, there's stuff in my life that I feel like I can't handle. I feel like a baby elephant pulling against a tree. And I know right now you're ministering to your children in this room about things they've got going on. Release them and smash the peg. Smash the peg in their lives. As we have two people up here who are going to pray with them today, God, just I ask for your spirit. Daddy, just pick us up. Just as a little kid raises their hands and just says, pick me up, God. Let us just lift our hands and just say, pick me up. And you minister who you are, God. You're a mighty daddy, and we love you. Amen. The altar's open for you to pray with him.
All right, so for all you dads out there, we got a special song for you today. So I kind of cleared the stage off. Just with three dads up here and one son. Pretty awesome. Got Jack's dad in the front row. I couldn't plan it better than that. So I think, you know, we all recognize that our dads were people in our lives that affected us either directly or indirectly. And I just, for all you guys out there raising kids right now, just think about, you know, how you're affecting your kids directly and indirectly. You know, someday they're going to think of you in a certain way. And hopefully it's a positive, powerful way like this song talks about.
I was young when I was told, take a chance before you're old. Live a life you're proud to share. Don't look back and don't be scared. Say your prayers and don't be run. Soon you'll be a man myself. Now I am right where I belong. I hear your voice and I am strong. And I will carry you with me till journey's end. I'll always be all around. Now keep your feet on solid ground. Let your words and honor be the truth and strength for all the world to see. Now I am right where
I did not look at my dad once while I was we were singing that. I hope you have an awesome week in the Lord, all right? We're going to have an awesome week in the Lord. Don't stop this moment now, this moment where we just need to connect, because I know there's stuff here, right? There's stuff here. And so I just want you to just reach out before you leave. High five somebody, hug somebody, knuckle punch them. Don't punch them and while you're trying to do anything. But most of all, recognize, regardless of where you are in this earthly world with your dad or who you are as a dad, recognize that you have a daddy in heaven who loves you and just wants to pick you up again and fix what's going on, but lead you to something else, and that's to his son at the cross, where he changes you and changes everything else. Now, next week, we're going to do a little construction. You ready? We're going to have VBS in here, right? Vacation Bible School. They're going to be rocking this place out like a madhouse. But you know what else we're going to do? We're going to rip the roof off next week. Next week, we're going to talk about raising the roof. And I want to ask you, what would you do? What would you do to get somebody to freedom? What would you do to get somebody to the feet of Jesus? And that's what we're going to talk about next week. So I want you to go forth in the love of God, your Father, your Daddy. That unconditional love that he has for you. The grace, the undeserved favor of our Lord Jesus Christ, the power and communion of the Holy Spirit that moves in us and keeps, and that the name of Jesus, every demon needs to flee. May you have strength in Christ Jesus. One thing I would be remiss if I did not say, is it is so good to see Margie Beauchel here where she belongs right here today. And she's had a time over the last 6 months. So guess what? Have an awesome week in Jesus. God bless. Also, we're going to have a wedding next week, right? You're going to have a wedding. So Kristen, you guys, good job. Go ahead. Congratulations. We'll be married the next time we see him. But everybody say hi to somebody. Have a great week and happy Father's Day to any fathers.
Life is mostly on a blank level. Show real balance. Little
else. I know you. Surface level and spiritual. Surface and spiritual.